Please be seated. The first thing I want to make sure, did you all pick up an icon on your way in? Let me bring them in for you. Okay. Those are going to be passed out. I'm going to refer to them at some point in the sermon, so it's always nice if you have an image to go along with whatever it is I'm talking about. This is no time for a child to be born. With the earth betrayed by war and hate, and a comet slashing the sky to warn that time runs out and the sun burns late. That was no time for a child to be born in a land in the crushing grip of Rome. Honor and truth were trampled to scorn, yet here did the Savior make his home. When is the time for love to be born? The inn is full on planet Earth, and by a comet the sky is torn. Yet love still takes the risk of birth. This is Madeline Lengel's heartbreakingly lovely poem, The Risk of Birth. And it feels as timely and poignant now as it did in 1973 when she wrote it. When would be the perfect time? Now, for all of his prophetic language and complete lack of a birth story, in today's gospel, John gives us the most concise statement of what we celebrate at Christmas. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Or as the Message paraphrases it, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. The Voice translation says, he took on flesh and became human and chose to live alongside us. Or the more literal reading from the Greek, the Word became flesh and meaty and pitched his tent with us. I really like this idea of a meaty Jesus. But possibly the most familiar is the King James Version, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Once you get past the exhilaration and the poetry that's there in John, there's a reality that starts to sink in. The Word is God. The Word became fully human. God became fully human. The vast creator of the world became a tiny, helpless baby, just like how we all start. And we know how his life played out, his message of peace and love, his destruction at the hands of the empire, testified to us in Scripture. But what if Jesus was born today? What if all of a sudden Jesus moved into the neighborhood? Well, let me read you this. It's published in the BBC a week ago. The atmosphere in Bethlehem is heavy with absence. Christmas celebrations have been canceled this year, and the thousands of tourists and pilgrims who would normally fill Manger Square are nowhere to be found. The city is empty from happiness, from joy, from kids, from Santa. There is no celebration this year, says Madeline, a resident of Bethlehem, in the occupied West Bank. The traditional Christmas tree, usually in the middle of the square, is not there. There are no carols or Christmas market stands. Instead, a nativity scene, which shows a newborn Jesus surrounded by big rocks and barbed wire, has been installed as a tribute to the children in Gaza. Somber. Somber. That's what it would have been like if Jesus was born today. At least if he was born in Palestine. He would be born surrounded by rubble, maybe born in rubble, maybe even covered by rubble. And at this point, you all have a printed icon. This is an icon from one of my favorite iconographers, Kelly Lattimore, who worked together with Red Letter Christians, an organization that strives to live into the message of Jesus' peace and justice, and they collaborated to create this icon called Christ in the Rubble. Their goal was simple, to make people think. How do we create a world where our poor, homeless, refugee, Palestinian savior, born to a teenage mother and later condemned to death, would be cherished had he been born today? It's a haunting image, and it's sad. Destruction is all around them as the parents protect their helpless child from the chaos surrounding them. How long would he last in such an environment? I don't know. A mother was shot by a sniper and killed going to the bathroom with her child in a church they were in for sanctuary in Gaza, so the odds don't seem particularly good. And then echoes of Lengel's poem ring out in my head, "This is no time for a child to be born, with the earth betrayed by war and hate." But what about a different neighborhood? What if Jesus was born in our country? A country where brown people are killed by police, where human rights for affirming and respectful health care are legislated away and constitutional rights are stripped from women. Now, I remember reading a few years ago about how if Jesus were to step foot in Congress, he would be unilaterally rejected. Neither party is going to tolerate him. One member of Congress reflected, "And sometimes, especially in this body, I feel as though if Christ himself walked through these doors and said what he said thousands of years ago, that we should love our neighbor and our enemy, that we should welcome the stranger, fight for the least of us, that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven, he would be maligned as a radical and rejected from these doors." I can't help believe that that is anything but totally true if it were to happen. And that's certainly not the time or the neighborhood for Jesus either. But when we think 2,000 years ago wasn't the ideal time for a poor, marginalized person to be born under the most powerful empire the world had ever known, either. So when? So where? there hasn't been a perfect time or perfect place yet. They may never be. The world has always been ready to chew up and spit out and crush ones that live for peace and mercy and equity. There is no perfect time for our God to be born and receive a perfect welcome. Instead, God insists. God breaks in, whether we are ready for it or not. And again, Lingel writes, when is the time for love to be born? The inn is full on the planet Earth, and by a comet the sky is torn. Yet love still takes the risk of birth. Now, it may not be perfect, but now is the only time that we have. The child is born. Love has to be born in us, plain and simple. God's moved into our neighborhood. God's moved into all of our neighborhoods. So how do we create a space where our poor and homeless refugee Palestinian savior, born to a teenage mother and later condemned to death, would be cherished? A space where all people would be cherished. Now, I don't have the answers. But I'm with each and every one of you in those questions. Be warned, though. It's risky and it's dangerous to even think about.